Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News, and I'll be joined by Charles T. Hamilton to discuss the strengths, weaknesses, and potential fit of Obi Toppin. Let's do it.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Charles, thanks for joining me today. We've done a lot of these, and we are finally getting around to Obi Toppin, the extremely productive forward out of Dayton. Toppin's been considered one of the top prospects in the draft for a while now. What is it that you like most about his game?
Well, athleticism. I mean, he jumps off the floor, literally, and off the screen. He's a great in transition, lob threat, all those things. He's, 6'9", 220, 6'11", wingspan. So the measurables are there for a power forward. The shooting is, even though it's a small sample size, was it just under 40% from three this year? So you at least have the basis of a three-point shooter, of a stretch four, stretch big. There's a lot to like about him offensively. And, I mean, that's the biggest benefit of his game, is that he's an offensive force in the front court.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who, coming out of college, even though he's 22 years old, a little bit older, but a lot of 22-year-olds aren't considered lottery picks because it feels like sometimes they've hit their ceiling at that age. But this guy is coming out of Dayton a ready-made offensive player for the NBA. Like, everybody I talk to says, like, this isn't just a thing that he did at Dayton. This is something that he's going to do at the NBA level. He can shoot from the corners, from three-point range. He's got NBA range, but he hasn't fallen in love with the shot the way that so many other bigs that can sort of kind of shoot it have. Like, he's not just settling for threes over and over again. He doesn't want to just be this pick and pop player, right? Like, he's willing to he's just got this full arsenal. He's so athletic, like you mentioned. I mean, his straight line speed can be overwhelming, and you combine that with his size and just the way that he plays, that aggressive nature with which he plays, and he's a threatening roller out of the pick and roll. And that's why he's getting so many comparisons to, like, modern Amari Stoudemire, right? And I think it's a great comparison, because not only is he able to roll to the basket and finish with force and finish through contact and draw fouls, but, he's going to be able to stretch the floor. And when you could do both of those things, and when you have good touch around the rim and all this stuff that he has, decent ball handler, like, you're just so respected from everywhere on the floor that, if he's picking and popping, for example, defenders are going to have to close out on him. And he is quick enough, and he's got a good enough handle to just, drive right by those closing defenders and finish at the rim. If they play off of him because they're worried about the drive, well, then he could just pop up and shoot it and make you pay that way too. So this is a guy who's going to walk into the NBA tomorrow and be a productive offensive player.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned the ball handling too, because a guy his size at that position, he's a solid ball handler. Like you said, when they respect his shot and close out, he can easily just dribble past. And we talked about his athleticism and finishing, throw down a nasty dunk for you, no problem. You can also run some offense through him. His passing is good enough, especially, coming in as a rookie. And you mentioned his age at 22. So there is the question of how much better can he get. But I also think some of that's overrated. Some of it is, it's not a guarantee that a 19-year-old is going to progress at age 20, 21, 22. Like, people get better at different stages in their careers. So, I mean, the idea that he's a finished product and can't continue to get better is kind of ridiculous. Like, there's definitely other things that he can build upon, like his playmaking and his passing and dribbling and stuff. But as far as scoring goes, he's going to come in and have an impact from day one.
Yeah, and at his size, I mean, the debate is he a four or is he a five? And right now, the conversation seems to be going the way of, well, he's a modern center, because the way that he could space the floor and put pressure on the rim at the five position is invaluable, but it also covers up for some of those other deficiencies that we'll get to later on. But as far as the percentages from his shooting, just to really kind of put it in perspective, and this is a guy who averaged 20 points per game last year at Dayton on 63% shooting overall, 39% from three-point range on 2.6 three-point attempts per game, in addition to 7.5 rebounds, 2.2 assists, one steal, and 1.2 blocks per game. The 2.2 assists, you mentioned the playmaking before. That really impresses me, because not only is he does he have this ability to just go ahead and lead his team in offense as he did in Dayton, but he's getting 2.2 assists passing to who at Dayton? Like, name one other player at Dayton. I can't. And so if he's able to get a couple assists per game from that position, that means a lot. That means that he's not just this, good team or a good stats on a bad team kind of guy. Dayton wasn't bad, but it was, on an underwhelmingly talented
team. I mean, they were good because of him, really. Like, yeah, exactly. He was the main piece of that Dayton team that was really overachieving. You know, it's kind of like Steph and Davidson a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And you like to see that. So, I think Obi Toppin, it's pretty obvious what he can do for you offensively. Defensively, you like his size. You like his athleticism. I think that'll lend itself to him improving on that end a little bit more. But that's exactly what we're going to get to next when we talk about Obi Toppin's weaknesses here on Locked On Warriors. But first, with the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now while you might not be able to do it at a traditional store. So do it easily online instead at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 2 decades. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything you need, from engine control modules, brake parts, to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks and deliver directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. You don't have to leave your computer. You don't have to go to a ridiculous store where they're trying to upsell you on different parts that you might not know. You just do it in your underwear, do it right from your computer. Whatever you need, they've got it for you. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low without the markup you find at chain stores. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and then find the How Did You Hear About Us box and write Locked On so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, Charles, so we hit on it a little bit there in the first segment, but as far as Obi Toppin's weaknesses, the guy's going to come in a ready-made offensive player, certainly things that he can prove on that end. You mentioned the ball handling. He could still, prove that he's got the NBA range, even though most people are confident in it. He can certainly improve as a playmaker and passer if it's in that sort of system, but defensively are where the main concerns are with him. Wasn't a good defender at Dayton. When he plays the four, sometimes bigger, other small ball type fours, other more perimeter oriented players can get by him. And he has a hard time sort of moving his feet and staying in front of guys at the point of attack. Defensively, I think that's why he's moving more toward being a center at the NBA, because you could basically say, you know what, we're not going to have you get out there on guard on the perimeter. We're going to just let you drop back, do a drop coverage type deal. And that way you're not being forced out onto the perimeter. You can just use your size, use that wingspan, use that vertical and that aggressiveness at the rim, meet players at the rim, protect the paint, but we're not going to have you go out and switch. But then again, that sort of limits what you can do defensively, Charles.
No question. And having that in a guy who's 6'9", like, it's one thing if you have a 7-foot, monster down low and you're just saying kind of protect the rim. He's still an undersized center. And yes, the leaping ability and athleticism and explosiveness you think would lend itself to being a good rim protector and shot blocker. He's not that yet, not to say that he can't be that, but he definitely wasn't that in college. And I wouldn't expect him to be that immediately coming into the NBA either. And his pick and roll defense is pretty rough for a guy trying to read screens and read the pick and roll. Defensively, he's just not good. I mean, that's all you can really say about it. He's, as far as I'm concerned, it's a, LaMelo Ball level of defense. Maybe slightly better, slightly higher upside because of his athleticism. But coming in, he's just not going to be a guy you want to have defending anyone, really. And I think the move to the five could help, because there aren't as many low post centers that could really punish him down low. But, a guy like Zion would dunk him into the rim, basically. Right. There are some guys that could take advantage, but, you're trying to hide him, and you try and there's players that you try and hide on defense on every team. No team has five perfect defenders, but he'd be a guy you'd try and hide. And it's tough to do with a front court player, I think.
and somebody that other teams would attack. I mean, you're exactly right. With a front court player, we've seen this happen over and over. Even a guy like Kevin Love, who is just an elite offensive player and rebounder, and Obi Toppin's far from an elite rebounder. I mean, this is a guy who, I mentioned, 7.5 rebounds per game, but you would think on that team against the competition that they played, and given his role and how many minutes he's playing, he would get more than 7.5 rebounds per game. He's got a rebounding percentage of 14.5%, which is not good. And I think some of that has to do with his lack of size and just sort of lack of feel on the defensive end. He just never really is in the right place. You know how rebounders just tend to always be in the right place where the ball is going? He's like the opposite. And so there's some issues there. Reminds me a little bit of Enes Kanter defensively, where he's just like Super Saiyan Enes Kanter, basically, where like he's Enes Kanter has got this low post ability, nice touch around the rim, but you take Obi Toppin, he can finish at the rim just like Enes Kanter can, but he can stretch the floor and do all these things on offense, which lends you to think that he could be something more than that. And but defensively, he's just going to get attacked. And to me, that means that I have a question about his upside, not because of his age necessarily, but just because how much better can you get from this starting point defensively? Because you're right, he's probably a little bit better than LaMelo, but not much. He doesn't have much feel, not much instincts on that end. And so if you're going to be able to just attack him over and over again, then he's going to be played off the floor in the most meaningful moments of games. I don't know if it's worth spending a lottery pick on somebody like that. His ceiling might be, you know, hub of your offense, but of the second unit offense, right? Yeah. Not necessarily a guy who's going to be able to walk in and really contribute in the most important playoff situations.
Definitely. And I think you nailed it. That's kind of the baseline for me when it comes to especially this draft, but, you know, almost any draft is, can you see this guy in your closing lineup? Can he be played off the floor? And he can't. You know, that's just all there is to it right now. Mm-hmm. He could be played off the floor. And the struggle is, with a big, I at least want you to be able to guard bigs, and he's just doesn't really have the size to do that yet. Guards will definitely take advantage of him. Wings, you know, anyone that's got quickness, ball handling, etc., can take advantage of him. So it's just, I don't know where he fits defensively in today's NBA. And, you know, maybe the offense gets to a point where you live with the deficiencies, but I just don't see it yet.
Right. The fit is what's really interesting, I think, with Obi Toppin, and it's something I want to talk to next here on Locked On Warriors. If you haven't already, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors every day. Charles, as far as his fit and potentially with the Warriors, you know, I think with Obi Toppin, you need to surround him with basically at least three high-level defenders. Mm-hmm. If you look at the way the Nuggets built around Nikola Jokic, and I don't mean to compare Toppin to Jokic. I'm not willing to go that route. I think Jokic is one of the best seven players in the league right now. But he's not a good defender. But he's got size. There's things that he can at least provide some sort of deterrence at the rim. I think Obi Toppin can do a little bit of that just based on his size and his athleticism. But the way that Denver built around Jokic is sort of the same way you're going to have to, you know, quote unquote, build around Toppin, at least surround Toppin with players. And it's just going to be really long, rangy, defensive-oriented wings. And you're probably going to need, like, one other, you know, major ball handler with Jokic. So I think in the context of the Warriors, if they were to draft Obi Toppin at two or trade back and get him or whatever, then you could plug him in at center, I think. And let's say you start him, and you're starting him next to Draymond Green. Well, that's about as good of a situation as you can have for Obi Toppin, because we know Draymond is going to cover up for a lot of the deficiencies on defense that Obi Toppin has. You put him next to Andrew Wiggins, who can be a good defender when he wants to be. You put him next to Klay Thompson, who's obviously one of the better perimeter defenders in the league. We'll see what it looks like coming off the ACL tear, but I still expect at least 80% of that to be there. And then Steph Curry, who's the ball handler type, the guy who can create offense. And he's not a negative on defense the way he used to be. He's at least smart enough, and he knows where to be.
At least a good team defender. Helpful.
Exactly. You
know, he'll be where he needs to be.
Absolutely. And so I think in that context, that might be a good spot for Obi Toppin to be in defensively and offensively. Look, I mean, this is a guy who's going to be able to space the floor next to Draymond Green, which is hugely important in this offense. And then we mentioned the playmaking. We know how Steve Kerr likes his centers to playmake. I think Obi Toppin could certainly do that as the five on that team.
Yeah, you know, here's a question that we have talked about, and we're not going to know until it happens. do we expect the Warriors to kind of break their championship mold of having, you know, guys like Andre Iguodala, looking for the next Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, et cetera? Or are they going to kind of change their philosophies a little bit, where a guy like Obi Toppin, because of his offensive ability, they decide to go with it. They think having an undersized five with the scoring that Obi Toppin brings is how they want to build moving forward. If that's the case, then yeah, he would fit. But as far as looking at their history and what they've done before, and I kind of do believe that that's the way they're leaning, is looking for more defensive oriented players. Because when you look at, you know, you look at the Heat and the Lakers, yeah, they do have offensive, explosive offenses at times, but those are defensive oriented teams with a lot of length and skill defensively. So I don't see it as a fit for how I think they're going to build. But we don't know for sure that that's how they're going to build. So history to me says no. But again, that's just going off of what they've done before. And they could easily fall in love with a guy with the skills of Obi Toppin and throw him in there.
I'm more in line with you. I mean, I lay out the fit there just to sort of lay out the positives. But as far as what the Warriors are actually going to do in this draft, I don't see them drafting Obi Toppin. It would take something strange. It would take a trade back to like 8 or 9 or 10, and then the guy that they thought would be there is no longer there, and they're just like, crap, okay, let's just go ahead and grab Obi Toppin. I don't think they would be totally upset with that, depending on what they got in that trade, you know, which is obviously, you know, a big factor in that. But if they're sitting there at 2 to 6, I just don't see Obi Toppin being the guy for them.
Same.
Because of what you just said too, I mean, if you're the Warriors, you need to improve your defense first and foremost. I mean, they had the 30th ranked offense in the league last season, 26th in defense. That offense is going to get better just by getting Steph Curry and Klay Thompson back. That should solve a lot of those problems. And like a full year of like Andrew Wiggins doing his thing and all that stuff. Like the offense is going to get better just by having Steph and Klay back. I don't know that it necessarily gets as good as it needs to get just by getting Steph and Klay, and even Draymond Green back for a full healthy season, and Kevon Looney back. All that stuff is going to help the defense, but you're still missing guys like Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala, Kevin Durant. Like, you don't have those level defenders. And this was a team that finished in the top, I think it was the top three defensively in each of Steve Kerr's seasons. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that they're going to get back to that level, but they need to get really close to it. Now, when
they
I say really
to
close,
top
like,
half at least.
Top half at least. I was thinking top 10.
Yeah.
If they're going to be legitimately considered a contender. Obi Toppin doesn't walk in and help your defense. If anything, he hurts it, like we just said. So I think with whatever they do with this draft pick, the player that they select, whether it be a rim protector or somebody on the perimeter, whoever it is, needs to project to help that defense pretty immediately.
Yeah.
And as good as Obi Toppin, I think, could be as a first, like, this is a guy who could go on and win Rookie of the Year because he's going to be so productive on the offensive end. And let's keep in mind, the offensive end is more important than the defensive end in a vacuum. But for the Warriors, they need somebody who can help that defense right away.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it. I'd say 8 or lower. If they trade down to 8 or lower, probably, you know, and the reason I say 8 is because I'm not sure he'll be there at 10. But even for my own value, I would say 10 or lower. If they trade down to the 10 spot or lower and get Obi Toppin, I'd feel okay with it. Definitely not at number 2. There's just way too many other options out there. But the positive, one of the things you mentioned, if that's what ends up happening, that, you know, the guy they wanted isn't there and they end up getting Obi Toppin and he comes in and has an Obi Toppin type season, puts up big offensive numbers, that is attractive on the trade market. And Obi Toppin putting up 18-8 or whatever it may be is more attractive than a really good defender. And another thing, there's a backlog at the power forward position, even though I do think that Obi Toppin could play some five, Draymond's going to play some five as well. They do have a group of similar type players, and I just don't think that's where they need to go. And I know we're talking about Obi Toppin, but as far as a guy who's, you know, 6'9", 220, athletic, plays that 4-5 spot, I think there's a guy later in the draft that they might want to get in Paul Reed, who fits more of what they would be looking for of a all around defender and, you know, a lob threat over a guy who's got the kind of same body type and is just an exclusive offensive player. Right. So I don't see the fit. There are worse picks that could happen. You know, eventual trade value would be there, But as far as for immediate help, which I think the Warriors need, especially defensively, it's just, it's not the guy.
Sounds like we are in alignment on this.
I think so.
That'll do it for today's Locked On Warriors. Remember to subscribe to new episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. Thanks to Rock Auto for sponsoring the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. We'll see you here tomorrow morning.